Monday the 29th of October, Rabbi Chaim Rappaport, Jewish Music, Does the Composer Matter?
Last time I was in Eretz Yisrael, I went into one of the shops in Geula and looked at some of the more recent CDs or tapes of Jewish music, and I noticed what must be a relatively new phenomenon, that some of them had a Hechsher on them. It had said that the tape had been produced or authorized by a particular Beis Din or rabbinic authority, renowned or self-proclaimed, as the case may be. And I was a bit surprised, because it reminded me of the time when I saw for the first time bathroom cleaners with or domestic cleaning agents with Hechsherim, and I was wondering why they would need a Hechsher. But after thinking about it, in the case of the music at least, I thought that possibly there is a good reason to have a Hechsher on a music tape. And after all, we're not talking about tapes where there's a Shiloh, Kov, Ishaharov, or anything like that. It's Jewish songs. Nevertheless, it needed to have a Hechsher. So I began to think about this, and the shiur that I give this morning will reflect my ruminations on the tape with the Hechsher, and will be based primarily upon a teshuvah, a response penned by Rav Moshe Feinstein in his Tshuvas Igros Moshe, published in Chelek Aleph Siman Tzadik Vav. I made some 20 copies. I don't know if everyone has got one, but at least I have distributed some of them. We won't learn this inside, but I'll draw your attention to some keynote phrases within this teshuvah as we go along. Rav Moshe was asked a shaila in, seems, 1959, regarding songs on Jewish words, Jewish tunes, which were made, he says, composed by an Adam Kosher, person of good reputation, who, after having made these songs, earned himself a bad reputation, Soni Shum Ani. And his question was, is it permissible to sing these songs at weddings or in similar venues or not? So Rav Moshe divides the Shaila into three parts. Very interesting. He says one must address the issue of songs that were composed by this gentleman when he was still impeccable reputation, when he was Becheskes Kashrus. Then one must address the songs that he composed after already he earned himself a bad reputation, Soni Shemani. And then one must also inquire as to what type of Soni Shemani he earned himself. In other words, did he become an Apikoros? Was he just an Avarion? Was he just a little bit wayward and backsliding? To what degree was his Soni Shemani? And that would also have an effect on this, on the status of the music. So we're dealing with three stages according to the way that Rav Moshe analyzes it in this teshuva. First, the music composed by Kashrusoi. Secondly, the music composed La'achar Sheyotso. He doesn't use the term L'tarbus Ro, but I'll propon him not a Tarbus Toiva. And thirdly, what was the nature of this Tarbus Ro? So he discusses it. Well, at face value, what is the issue? And we know that in Halacha, already in Chaim and Siman and Gimel, Magen Avraham and Ramah, speak about the question of using songs that are used in Bati Avodah Zarah for shul, for davening, for pieces of davening. And there is a lot of discussion in the Tshuvas about this. Arayim Azeh. Yesh Ma'aminim, Yesh Ma'aminim. For example, I have before me this morning two Teshuvas from contemporary Poskim. Rav Avi Yosef and Yechavadas Chelek Beis is of the opinion that it is okay to take, for example, Arabic songs, folkloristic songs, songs that are used in a non-religious context for sure, and possibly even if they are used in a religious context, but stripped off their Arabic words and applied to Kehil Oda and the Chazoidi, you name it. According to him, there is no prohibition. He even goes so far as to say that this, to be mamlet, to make a play on the words in Tehillim Kuf Lamed Zayin, Arabimna Batoicha Talinu Kinarasenu. But we sing our songs in Arabic tunes. And he testifies that in the Middle East, at least, in Egypt and similar countries where he resided and saw what was done in previous generations, the Masaira there was definitely that the Oriental music, you know, in as was actually sung and composed by non-Jewish people, Arabs and the like, were actually employed, borrowed and applied to parts of Damascus. And the sources are there. On the other hand, Yaakov Moshe Hillel in his Tshuvas Vayoshev Hayom takes issue with this view, and he says that this is wrong. But if you study the Tshuva, there are differences between them. It's not really a machlekes min hakotzer hakotzer, at least in theory. The main concern with Yaakov Moshe Hillel is that maybe if you sing a song which is known as some sort of non-Jewish song, a pop song, or related to particular words, so you might be singing Shadach Noitzim Loi Kol Tzvah Moroim, but your mind will be on the other words which you may recognize the tune to belong to. So you will therefore introduce into the davening a Machsheves Psu, a Machsheves Pigul. Here you're saying Shadach Noitzim Loi Kol Tzvah Moroim, but you're really thinking of the words and the content of the words in which from which the song or the melody, the tune, originated. This is his concern. Rav Avadi doesn't seem to be concerned about that, although he does say in quite explicitly so, he doesn't seem to be concerned about that. He says, yes, okay, preferable if you can use songs which are Jewish songs, although he adds that essentially all the songs, I suppose the songs that he was talking about, originate from non-Jews. But some of them are still known as non-Jewish songs, and some of them have been forgotten. Their origins have been forgotten, and now they've been absorbed into the Gevul HaKadusha, and therefore I suppose there's no association anymore. Now, before I go on to Ramosha's tshuva on this issue, I want to point out that we're talking here al-pi halacha. Obviously, there may be some people who have other considerations based on Kabbalistic sources, mystical sources, yes, of which I am not a master. But we're going back to the halacha issues here, and I've given you the background about the songs that come from non-Jewish authors, etc. Interesting that Rav Moshe and this tshuva doesn't make any reference to this discussion, although there's quite a broad discussion amongst the early Achronim regarding this. Rav Moshe comes from a completely different angle. He says, what is the issue regarding the composer? The issue is the Rambam in Hilchus Yisoidah HaTorah Perek Vav, where the Rambam cites the Gemara in Gittin in Perek HaNizokin, the Sefer Torah Shekos Vemini Yisori. So the Torah that was written by a heretic may be burned. There's no Kedusha to the Askoros or to the Sefer Torah. Not only that, says the Rambam, but it is a mitzvah to burn. One ought to burn Sifrei Torah that were written, penned by heretics. Why? Kidei Sheloi Lahaniach Shem La'apikursim. In order not to leave a name for the heretics. To obliterate all memory, all lasting souvenirs of the heretic, therefore it's a mitzvah to destroy this one. And virtually all those who have seen discuss the Rambam understand the Rambam to be saying two things. First of all, it is permissible to burn the Sforim because the Kedusha, the Askoros of no Kedusha. And then an additional statement, which is the Pashtus, the Rambam's Chiddush, in other words, there's no clear source for this in the Gemara. The mitzvah lasar from that there is an additional positive aspect in burning these sephorim. Why? Today shaloi lahaniach shem la'apikursim. So Rav Moshe takes his cue from this Rambam and says, well, possibly if you sing a song of a person who is a wicked person, maybe by singing his song you're perpetuating his name, which is the reverse of shaloi lahaniach shem la'apikursim. This is Rav Moshe's issue. And therefore he discusses whether in singing the songs of this wayward composer, is there any chashash of being maniach shem l'shoim or le'apikos. It is possible that the reason that Ramesha doesn't make reference to the discussion in the Me'or HaChaim Simon Gimel regarding Shiri Agovim, etc., in the Modern Avraham and the Achronim, is because we're talking about songs, as Ramesha himself say, that there are no negative connotations to them. It's clear, in other words, we're taking for granted that there's no issue here regarding there might be Mo'er, one did Sehara, Divrei Cheshek, etc. We're talking about songs which are not in that category. The only concern that he has is the author of the song and the attribution of the song to the author, which may violate the spirit of the Rambam's principle, Shaloi Lahaniach Shem L'Rishoyim Ulamimim, whichever gears that you have in the Rambam, because there are various alternative stories. So what does Ramesha say? He basically splits his answer into three. I'll start in the order of the Tshuva, although conceptually we may start from a different one. He says, the whole Isser of Shalini Laniach Shem L'Apikursim only applies to something which the person did when he was already a Rosha or an Apikur. But something, even if he became a Rosh, even if he became an Apitoris, if he composed or wrote a Sefer Torah, for example, the Kashrusoi, before he went off the track, then there is nothing wrong with using that Sefer Torah, and by the same token, there's nothing wrong in singing his song. And he brings two riyas for this. Riyah number one from a Mishnah, for the end of Masechet Maaseh Sheni, and at the end of Masechet Sota, where the Mishnah says that Yochanan Kohen Gadol made several takonos. He was mevatel hidoros ma'aser, afu bitel ha'torin v'sanoktin. He said that from now on people should not say vidui ma'aser biarti hakodesh min habayis, because you can no longer say the gam nesatir la'levi, because Ezra made a knas that they shouldn't give the ma'aser rishon to the Leviim because they didn't follow his orders, and they should from now on only be given to Kohen. At any rate, this, the Dikul Hadoya Samaita, and also other Takonis, Bittul HaSa'urin, Bittalokfin, which you can look up in the Mishnayos in those places, Maisa Sheni and Saita, Yochanan and Kohen Gadol made them, and they are attributed to Yochanan and Kohen Gadol. Now, there is a debate amongst the Mepharshei HaMishnah and Sforim which deal with Divrei Yemei Yisrael, which Yochanan Kohen Gadol this was. There is a Yochanan Kohen Gadol who is famous or infamous for the fact that Shimei Shmonim Shana Bikvuna Gedolah and after Tzidoki, he served as a Kohen Gadol for 80 years and then he became a Sadducee. If we assume that this is the Pshat, as the Melech Shlomo in his commentary on Maseches Maaseh Sheni says Rav Moshe, if that's the case, we have here a paradox. Yochanan Kohen Gadol was a Sadducee, and yet the Jews study Mishnayos all over the world, and we learn Yochanan Kohen Gadol bitul b'hidoros ha'maisa. So every time we say Yochanan Kohen Gadol bitul b'hidoros ha'maisa, we are being maniach shem Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Our Yochanan Kohen Gadol was a tzidoki, and we only need to look in the Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim in the beginning of Perek Gimel, where he tells us that the Tzidukim, the Sadducees, were apikoros, and they denied the authenticity of Torah Shebaal Peh, and that is basically places them beyond the pale. So if that's the case, how can we mention Yochanan Kohen Gadol, who most of all will mafarik? The answer is poshut. The Mishnah, the Takonas that the Yochanan Kohen Gadol made were from the period of his kashrut, and therefore we don't have a problem of Hanochas Shem, because he says this is Hanochas Shem the kashrusa. When we it was a split personality, so to speak. There was the Yochanan Kohen Gadol who was Yochanan Kohen Gadol, and then there was the one who became a Tzidukim. And we can't be maniach shem to the Sadducee on Yochanan Kohen Gadol, but we can be maniach shem to the kosher Yochanan Kohen Gadol. This is a chiddush, of course, Yes, because it's not a logical imperative by any stretch of the imagination. But Rav Moshe is mechadish that we can say this, and we do say it. Now, of course, not everyone agrees that this Yechonim Kohen Gadol was the one who became a tzaddik. It could have been referring to another one who was after Shimon HaTzaddik. Rambam in his commentary in the Mishnah says so. But Rav Moshe says it's not necessary to be mechadish here or machlokes in halacha. Because the question is a historical question which stands alone. Who was it? But since we see that there are some Mepharshim who are happy to accept it was the Yechonim Kohen Gadol who mastered Tzaddiki, so therefore we don't have any problem with music of a composer who became Tzaddiki or whatever afterwards. Another proof he brings is from Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya, everyone who studied the sugya in Chagiga Daf Yudalet knows.
Mm-hmm.
Of Yudalet and Tesrovia, in that area there in Chagiga, about how Elisha ben Avuya, who was the Rebbe of Rabbi Meir, the Meir even studied Torah from him after he became an Apikoros, because Teuchei Ochel Kumpasi Zorak. Yes? So Yechei Elisha ben Avuya Yotza Letar Besra, and he became nicknamed Acher. Nevertheless, there is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos Perek Daled which says Elisha ben Avuya Ima Aleinig Yelad Namal Deimel Yech Sura Al Niyor Chodosh Aleinig Zokin Namal Deimel Yech Sura Al Niyor Mochuk. This Mishnah has been Mikva in Pirkei Avos, even though it is Elisha ben Avuya. Rav Moshe doesn't mention this, but I will mention the Chagav that in the Hakadom of the Pirush of the Rambam to his Pirush Mishnah, the Rambam says that he makes a list of all the people that are mentioned in the Mishnayos, and he says minyan hachachomim shenizku b'mishnah meyo ve'esu mishmoina, and he says there's another two which is not including in this minyan of 128, and one of them he says is Elisha Acher v'loy moninu oiso im hakrolus hatahira. He didn't want to include him in the list of 128 because of that which is known from his, in other words, because of his subsequent apostasy or Yitzhiyah Tagestra. But that aside, at the end of the day, Elisha ben Avuya is mentioned in the Mishnah. So how can he be mentioned in the Mishnah? Says Rav Moshe, it must be because Elisha ben Avuya in the Mishnah was a teaching that he made, that he taught, and possibly was even chronicled before he was there to the Targus Rav. So the mailer back to the Nigunim, even if the musician was Yod to the Targus Rav, if he made the Nigunim B'Shaf Kashrusoi, then there is no problem whatsoever. So says Rav Moshe. And he concludes, if those of you who have the paper sheets can look, based on these riots, he says in the third or fourth paragraph, bold letters at the end of the paragraph, Elohim. Gamba Uzgazu, Hanigun Shaotva Koshahoya the Kashrusoi, Shaatim Neymah Shiesh Bazayin Anochas Hashem Lois Hanigunim, even if we will accept that there is a notion of perpetuating the name of the composer of the songs, unless we ought not to forbid this. The Harihu Anoch Hashem of Man Kashrusoi Shelekek Peda Baza Umutah. Even people who want to be super duper from whiter than white, black kosher songs in terms of the Heksha, according to Rav Moshe, you could have a stamp approved for Bali Nefesh. The spiritually elite may listen to these songs as well. But then he goes on to say, what about the songs that he composed? What do we do here? So Rav Moshe's Mechadish, an interesting thing. He says that there is a strong svara to say that actually it doesn't really matter when he composed them. Even if it was Yotza L'Tar B'Sro, and when you say Yotza L'Tar B'Sro, real Yotza L'Tar B'Sro all the way. Yes? He's completely gone. Nevertheless, if he composes a song, provided the song doesn't have anything inherently wrong with it, this song can be used. Ah, what about the Indian of Shleil Haniach Shem or Shoy? So he said, this is not a problem. because Aniach Shem Noshoim is only with things that have got to do with Kedusha. If, for example, there was a Rosha that made a particular car or machine, invented a particular type of machine, patented a particular type of product, you wouldn't say that this person, you can't mention it or you can't use it, or because it's Aniach Shem Noshoim. The Hanukkah's shame that Hanukkah is concerned about is something like a Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah, which has got Kedusha, which people use to be Mekayim, it's clear for Torah. That is Hanukkah's shame of Roshoyim. But if he made something else which doesn't have any inherent Kedusha, then there is no inyan of Hanukkah's shame. If this is correct, he says, the same would be true to songs. Even though these songs may then be superimposed on words like Shavach Meis Kimloi or David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayom or Chodei V'Kos Kalos and Kavah Mavuk or whatever it may be, that doesn't make the melody a Dovah Shabbat Dusha. He composed a lachan, he composed a tune, a musical composition. Musical composition per se is a neutral composition, like a piece of paper. You can use it for this or you can use it for that. So if you use it for the real Kedusha, so he didn't make the word David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayom, he made the song. So therefore, what he's going to say, because we use his song, so therefore you remember his name. What will you remember his name? You'll remember him not for authoring David Melech Yisrael, but for authoring the tune. And that's not an official. However, Moshe himself acknowledges that this svara is only b'derech hefsha. He's inclined towards it, but he by no means is kriveya it b'masmeirim. But accepts that it's possible that this is going... This is incorrect, that it could be there is a Nisiv Hanukkah Shem. And therefore here he makes a difference between every Tom, Dick and Harry and Bali Nefesh. For the masses, the Hamoin Ha'am, he says such music is okay as well, even if he made it Ahashiyah to the Tal Basra. Why? Because it's mistabit to say that it's not Hanukkah Shem Roshon. But for Bali Nefesh ought to be careful not to use the songs that he composed with Acharei Sheyotza L'Tar B'Sra. Why? Because maybe Yesh Bo Mishum Hanukkah Shem. Maybe yes, maybe not. That's a chumrah for the Nizhorim B'Yotza. And that's where he concludes in the next paragraph, the bold letters, Im Kein Af Migunu Meiru Sha'asa Achash Shasoni Shumani Nani Yotza Noite Shein Lefza V'Nagim Behem Ach Be'elu. But with regard to these, Yesh Levin Toro Bali Nefesh Lachmir, given Sheish Gam Tam Lesser, even though there is reason to argue against the use of these songs, Afshul Tam Kolosh, even though it's a Shvacher reason, doesn't really hold water. After all said and done, Moshe had the qualification which casts light on all the above. He says that all the above is only if the person was Taka Yotzel Atar Basra and he became a Rosh Marusha, he became an Apikoros or a Mean, or a person who is a Mumma L'Chola Torah. But a person who is an Avarian in one particular area was Mumma L'Dol Echot. Such as, he says, the case of this person who was in yesteryear a Ben Torah, and now he his Loshon is that his mechanes bachurim of asulis yachad and mezamel lifneihem, he brings together boys and girls, presumably in mixed way, and possibly even with surim gemurim, even Abizrai who's a kid of Aroi is possibly involved. Yeah? And he sings in front of them, so he encourages a certain type of social cultural events which are against both the letter and the spirit of Torah. So he says, no, so this musician has got in this particular prat, he is a cow. He's a mumma l'tiyoven in this respect. Rak l'dover echod. If he would write a Sefer Torah, the Sefer Torah would be kosher. Yes, and there would be no mitzvah to burn it. Im kein kosher kein hanigunim shoyse sherashoyin enagin b'hem ve'in lahachmir af l'mnei Torah v'al nefesh. Again, here we go back to the two categories of the ordinary and the elite. Even the Bali Nefesh, those people who want all, I would say, what's a Bali Nefesh? Bali Nefesh is the opposite of a Bali Guf. A Bal Guf is someone who's mapped in that all his inyonim gufniim should be tip top, he wants them on the best. Baal Nefesh is a person who doesn't want to drive in a Mini, he wants to drive in a Rolls Royce. He wants his Yiddishkeit should be managed in the best possible way. So he wants to go out of his way, Imam Shmo Yisbarach, to make sure that it should be in the best way. So he says, if the person wasn't a Mumma L'chol HaTorah or an Apikoros, then even the Nigunim he made, La'acha Sheyotso Liyos Mumma L'dol HaRecho V'Teyoloi, even the Nigunim he composed after his Yitziyah, so to speak, are kosher L'chatchila, to be used for everybody, even for Baalei Nefesh and Bnei Torah. So there's no problem with them as well. However, all this is predicated upon the original assumption that the Nigunim themselves are not Nigunim which are Megara, the Yetzer Hara. And this can be done in one of two ways. Either because of the association of the Nigunim with the Nigunim are borrowed directly from a non-Jewish source which people are still familiar with, and therefore will cause one's mind to travel light years away from the davening towards the Dvarim, Pegumim, and Psulim. Alternatively, it could be that the nature of the song is a song which encourages Hakelus. There are songs which the very mode, tune, beat is one which is not Ma'ira a person to Avat Hashem or Girat Hashem or to Midas Tovas, but to removing of all restraints, which is clearly the context of much of the secular music which is used in certain places today. Obviously, that's not what we're talking about. Here we could say that the fact that the Poskim, as I mentioned, the Magen Avraham, quoting the Sefer Chassidim, didn't really have any central problem with the use of non-Jewish songs, even though they were composed by Rishoyim. And if he did have a problem with the secondary issue, it seems to be a siyata to the opinion of Ramosha, that Hanochas Shem Rishoyim is only if it doesn't apply in with regard to a tune which is a neutral composition and can be applied the Toiv Ulara. As to the specific proofs that Rav Moshe brings from the Mishnah, one could be mafalkal in them. I only have 2 minutes left, so I'll just finish off with a couple of horrors and leave these for you to think about.
Is Christian song different to Arabic song?
No, in this regard not. I just wanted to point out a couple of things, both b'negeah to Elisha ben Avriya and b'negeah to Yechon ten Golot. One may point out with regard to Elisha ben Avriya that since he actually composed this teaching, it was indispensable and it had to be included in the Mishnah. So the choice was not whether we should have this teaching. In other words, since the Chazal recognized the truth of this teaching, and therefore it was canonized in the Mishnah, the question is whether to mention his name or not to mention his name. But in the case of the song, there are plenty of other songs, so therefore it's not exactly a hashvah. Also, I ought to mention that really it could be even called in a machlokes rishonim, because in the Meforshim on Pirkei Avos, the Machzeh Vitri says that this teaching of Elisha ben Avriya Kodem sheyotza l'tar b'sura me'emra oi afilu l'bosor d'nafki u'misha sidra rimoin motza teicha yochal kliposi zorak. It's possible, he says, that this comes from post-date his Yitzhiya l'tar b'sura, but the one who heard this teaching said and at the kairos k'neicham olzor and agotvot, so he took it rimoin motza teicha yochal kliposi zorak. On the other hand, in the Pirush of the Rashbat, Shimon ben Tzemach, Mogen Ovis and Pirkei Ovis, he says, no, Chodem Shiyotza L'tar B'sura Yisra Shkura B'tiya Talmidim. So the discussion of Rav Moshe certainly touches on this discussion in the Rishonim as to when Elisha ben Avriya composed this statement. As far as Yechonon Kohen Gadol, a point both pro and con with which I finish. Pro is that I saw back in the Tshuvos of the Tashbat, and that he says that the Yechonon Kohen Gadol is mentioned in that's mentioned in davening in Al Hanisin is also the Yechonon Kohen Gadol Shenase Tzidduki. The Kosvuhu, he says, Bichlal Hatzadikim Koidem Shenase Tzidduki. this one strong support, and we still mention him till today, because it was Kodim Shinaz to Tzedekim. On the other hand, there is from Reb Baruch Meshbizah in his Sefer Beitzina de Nehoira, he says, "V'loma maskirin es Tzedekim b'chanika." Why do we mention Yechon Kengodl? "Mei shekikunoi hoya b'nes chanika." And he gives the whole explanation why that is the case. The Bnei Yisoscha and Mamor Chedish Kislev and Tevis and Chanika also speaks about Yechon Kengodl and Tzedekim, and he says, "Afo pikein hoya tzadik gomur." Yochanan Ken Gadol was a temporary lapse, but this didn't change the essence of who he was. So therefore, there is what to be compared and what to be mechalik, and ten lechachom v'yach tamarit.